Praise and thanks be to the Lord for his unspeakable grace and faithfulness, also for revealing his name to us, and that this name has become precious and dear to us, and that we know when all other names will be heard no more, then in the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. We are grateful that today we may already confess that he is the Lord. Then everyone else will have to. We do it now freely, because it is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. You all know, when we look at the signs of the times, we all notice, even the others already notice, and we as believers notice even more that the end of all things is near. And we believe that the Lord has a people on earth who will remain faithful until the end. After all, the end will be crowned. And we believe in this place, in the proclamation of the full salvation, of the full gospel. And I rejoice and openly testify that it is good that we sing of the core of salvation, that we place our Lord into the center as the crucified, risen, ascended to heaven, and returning Lord and Savior, and that we include the blood of the Lamb that was shed in our proclamation. Did you know, years ago, a very well-known denomination revised its hymnal, and all the songs that sang and told about the blood were taken out, and only songs that did not deal with it remained in it. What should then remain if the core of our salvation is taken out? It's good that they can't take it out of the Bible. When we sang the song, the second song, there is power, power in the blood, we believe it. We believe that the life of God was in the blood, and that the holy blood was shed so that holy divine life could be set free here and be manifested in all souls bought by the blood of the Lamb. We believe that with all our hearts. And I had to think of three scriptures in this context. One from the Old Testament, one from the Gospel, and then one from the Epistles. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. Certainly very familiar to all of us. One of the most glorious passages in the Old Testament. Zechariah 9, verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare. At that time, the proclamation went forth. On Calvary, it became legally binding. There it happened. The Lord led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He shed his blood and established the new covenant and brought out those who were waiting there for redemption. The prisoners were set free. They had to wait until the blood was shed, so that they could then come to the Lord. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, here I read verse 28. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There is no forgiveness except through shed blood, through the shed blood of the Lamb. Without shedding of blood, it says in Hebrews, there is no forgiveness. For this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, Paul summed it up in a quite wonderful way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 or verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Through the blood shed on the cross, we are very grateful to God that we see our redemption where it happened for us. Anything else misses the mark and leads to disappointment. As I mentioned earlier, we really notice it in everything, that the time is coming to an end, that the signs of the times speak a clear language. And how often have we read it from Matthew 24, from Luke 21, from various scriptures, what the Lord promised would happen in the last days? And indeed, it is happening before our eyes, as he said it would, in every way, whether it concerns the earthly realm or the natural disasters. Everything is fulfilled as God had said it in his word. Whether prophets, whether apostles, whether Old or New Testament, everything is God's holy word, and everything is true, and heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Everything he has said is happening. I would like to read some scriptures from the Old and New Testament concerning the last days. I have chosen Luke 21. From verse 25. The passage from Matthew 24 is certainly better known. I would like to read from Luke 21, from verse 25. Here it says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We could read on, also known to all, from verse 29. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. If the fig tree refers to the people of Israel, then the term and all the other trees refer to all the other nations. And look at it. Everything comes alive, becomes independent. When I think about it, when the UN was founded, there were 51 states. Today there are probably 159 states on earth. Every country that was somewhere under British, French rule, everything has shaken off the yoke. Everything has become free. Today I heard that up in the Baltic states, their own citizenships are to be introduced. Lithuania wants to introduce its own citizenship for all inhabitants of the country. All nations are waking up, not only Israel. All peoples want to shake off the yoke, and they will succeed because the time is here. And the rulers are all talking, from the first to the last, whether religious politicians or a politician of a religious nature, it no longer matters. They all want the great European house in which there are no more walls and no more borders, but freedom of movement. Beloved brothers from the German Democratic Republic, for your sake I rejoice most of all. And as I said years ago, beloved brother, you remember that the development will come like this because I know the prophetic word. And when it is written that the Eastern nations will place their power at the disposal of the beast until the words of God are fulfilled, then all this must happen. The important thing is that we have the vision for it. And the last beast will not be here with seven heads and there with 10 horns, but will form a whole with 10 horns and 7 heads. Is that too much again? Sometimes I think that's how everybody sees it and understands what is meant by it. But look, Revelation 17 tells us clearly, the harlot rides on the beast, and the beast does not have the head there and the tail there, the horns here and the heads there, but it is a whole, and the harlot that sitteth upon the many waters, which signify peoples, tongues, and nations. Yet she rides upon this beast. We are destined to proclaim the whole truth, including the truth of the prophetic word. For it is precisely this that is important for our day, lest we be led into error. God has reborn us from the word of truth, through the spirit of truth, unto a living hope, to reveal His word, the truth to us, and to make us a part of His word. We are comforted by this, and know that God has spoken to us, precisely because He has revealed to us the things that are really important now. And in this we do really differ from all the others. We say this in humility. It already says it in the prophetic word. Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people go astray. But where is prophetic revelation, where we can say, as Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He who does not see and has not received the light of the prophetic word through divine revelation remains in the dark. He thinks he sees. He thinks he is in the right and in the light. But only where there is real revelation of the word through the Spirit, there is light and there is life. For Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. And His word is a light on our path, a lamp. And where is it a light? Where it is lit, where it is made manifest, where the Holy Spirit can bring to light the meaning of the word. I have had to think about how many there are who themselves have no spiritual eyes to see. How can they guide others or lead them into the truth if they themselves are not in the truth? I have some scriptures on that I would like to read. I will start with Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. We will read some passages that speak of the watchman, that God has set, Isaiah 62, verse 8 and 9. Pardon me, verse 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Here are two things. The watchmen are indeed appointed and destined to watch. They have the responsibility for the whole life of a city or wherever they have to watch. And they have this responsibility now in the spiritual for the people of God, wherever the Lord has placed and set them. Over your walls, Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen who shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Not for one moment shall they keep silent. Watchmen who will stay awake. Watchmen who can speak, who can warn. Watchmen whom God can use. And then it says, you who are to remember the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest either. That is, when we find a word of promise that was placed upon the lampstand, then we go into prayer. We ourselves will not let up and will also wrestle and plead with the Lord until he does what he has promised. For he wants to give, but wants to be asked for it. Namely, he wants to give it to those who have received the word of promise. In them the hunger is awakened, and then he satisfies the desire wrought in us by himself, by giving what he has promised. And then, as it is written here, Jerusalem will again be made a prominence on earth. Isaiah 56, verse 10 to 12. Isaiah 56, verse 10 to 12. Is that the right word? Yes, that's right. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. And now comes a word that you wouldn't like to put in your mouth, but it is in the Bible. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. God wanted the watchman to watch, to have his eyes open, his ears open, his mouth moving, to warn, to speak. Yes, that God could speak through him. Now it is said here, the keepers of my people are blind, all without insight, no revelation. All of them without insight, all are dumb dogs. Yes, watchmen, keepers of my people, and then blind and dumb dogs. These are not words of a man, these are the words of God. When Paul speaks of the dogs, he says, look at the dogs, the evil workers, who were not sent by God, who were not set by God, who made trouble, who were against him. Here we are told, the guardians or watchmen of my people. Imagine, among the people of God. There are watchmen who have not been set by God. And when we go through the many churches today and see the sincerity of the people who want to be blessed, and the leaders are blind, they have no revelation, they don't see, but the people are there, hungry, otherwise they wouldn't come to the service at all. But they do not hear God's word, because the guardians do not have it at all, and are not right guardians. And the word itself says, dumb dogs, a hard speech. Be honest, beloved brethren, who among us would put such a phrase in his mouth? God used the prophets to blatantly speak the truth in such parables that no one would have to guess and puzzle, so that everyone understands exactly what is being said. Dumb dogs that can't bark. And then dreaming they lie there, like to sleep. Yeah, sure. Hold a service on Sunday morning, and then they wait until the next funeral comes, or the next wedding, or maybe the child's baptism, and then it's all over again. But thanks be to the Lord that He has made sure that there are also real guardians and watchmen who can open their mouths, through whom He can still speak. It goes on to say, yea, there are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. Are dogs and are shepherds? What is that? Is the dog the gardener? Are dogs and are shepherds? Here it's written, and at the same time they are shepherds, having no understanding, no discernment, all going after their own way, not the way of God. Their own way they go after are dogs that cannot bark, dream, lie down, sleep, do not open their mouths, and are at ease, and at the same time are shepherds that have no understanding and show no discernment. They all go their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Yes, you can read on if you like. So, as we see, there are two different watchmen and shepherds. The one set by God on Zion's walls to bring the right word at the right time in the name of the Lord, and to have open eyes to really be able to say what needs to be said in the name of the Lord. And the others are also among the people of God, but are not shepherds with insight, no shepherds who can see, shepherds who walk in their own way and not in the way of God. Let us continue reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52. Isaiah, chapter 52, from verse 8, we want to read. Now comes the word, your watchmen. We must always pay close attention. Pay attention to what is written. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. There must be true watchmen on Zion's walls, who bring the word of God to the people of God, that the Lord may return to His church and bless it anew. We read on. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted His people, He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Not only a small crowd here in the Federal Republic of Germany, in the last city called Krefeld, but all the ends of the earth shall and will see the salvation of our God. And we believe that in this dark time We have been counted worthy as watchmen with anointed and opened eyes to bring the divine message and warning to the people of God before the great catastrophe befalls mankind. How often have we heard it said that the Lord first sends the warning to give the people the opportunity to repent, and then the catastrophe comes. God first sends a warning, and then comes the judgment. If we also think about it in this context, what an advantage America has had in this generation to have seen and witnessed the supernatural work of God in millions, as it has not been since the day of Jesus Christ and the apostles. And yet, I was reading in Brother Branham's quotes today, and he actually says in one place, "I don't even pray for America anymore." I'm translating now. I just have it in English in front of me. Here he says in the sermon of the 27th of December, 64, "Look at the earthquakes here in California. I predict that before the coming of the Lord Jesus, that God will sink these places. I believe that Hollywood and Los Angeles and all those dirty places there, that God Almighty will sink them. They will end up at the bottom of the ocean." He goes on. He says, "I don't even pray for America anymore." She goes on and on and on until it will sink. And it says, almost one-tenth is already afflicted. And it goes on. The Holy Spirit said, or cried out in me tonight, "Blind Laodicea, how many times has God called you together through a revival? But now your time has come, for it is too late. How have you laughed and made fun of the people of God sent to you? But now your time has come. Oh, United States, United States, how often has God wanted to brood over you and gather you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you did not want." You could read a lot more. Now here he comes to the matter itself, and then he says, "Well, this voice goes from coast to coast, from north to south, from east to west. How did God want to hover over you, but you would not? Now your time has come. Nations are breaking. The world is crumbling. 1,500 miles it will be, and 400 miles in width. This section, 40 miles deep, it will sink, namely of the great fault that exists already." I'm sure you have all seen it somewhere in a book of earthquakes. I looked into it once. It is indeed so. And Brother Branham has said so, for who knows how long in advance. And then it goes on to say, "One of these days, the tidal wave will reach the state of Kentucky. And when that happens, the whole world will be affected everywhere, because everything will be shaken." There are quite a few more quotes. I don't want to read them all. But it's just been said, and Brother Branham, just in Los Angeles, where the greatest miracles and signs have happened, he actually had to utter this prophecy that the Lord is going to sink the whole area there because they didn't hear. We do not rejoice over this. We bear great sorrow over every person who does not come to God. And whoever does not have this feeling in him, those who are glad about judgments, I can only bear sorrow about them. We are not glad about judgments. God does not want to send judgments. He wants to send grace. But where grace is not accepted, only judgment remains. Where mercy is not accepted, there remains wrath. God wants all people to be helped, but not all let themselves be helped. And I tell you this one thing. Whenever God sends his servants and did great things, remember our Lord, in Capernaum, everywhere, in Bethsaida, where the great things happened, then suddenly he says, O Capernaum, and so on. If what happened in Sodom had happened in you, it would still be standing today. I hear Brother Branham say the same thing in Los Angeles. You can read it. Suddenly the Spirit of God comes upon him and he utters the same words, beginning with, O Capernaum, and then he goes over, O Los Angeles. Angeles, angels. O Los Angeles, city, you call yourself by the name of the angels. Your sins have gone up to heaven, and God will cast you down to the bottom of the sea. A man of God who knew full well that it is not he who works, but God speaks through him, admonishes through him. Did not Paul say the same thing then? We are entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation, for God beseeches through us, let yourselves be reconciled to God. He asks through us, he speaks through us, watchmen on Zion's walls, watchmen among God's people, who can say, the time is near, the hour is breaking. Warnings must be given, not to frighten, but to let the people know that now we can no longer play games, but must get serious. Here, we are told, I read it again, Isaiah 52, verse 8, Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Everything just happens in parallel. The awakening of all nations. Let us remember, many of us still lived through the hot war. We heard the rocket launcher whistling around our ears. Didn't I see how on the 19th of January, 1945, all of Königsberg was just a ball of fire, all over was fire. Didn't we witness what hot war means? Then we went through many years of cold war. And now it's neither hot nor cold. Now the two supermen of the world, the revered Mr. Gorbachev and the revered Bush, and you all know, Gorbachev taps on the Bush every now and then, and behold, both make a statement. Did you hear it on the news the day before yesterday? They both make a statement. Human rights for all peoples. Not unilateral. The first joint declaration by the two superpowers. Freedom of movement, human rights, self-determination. Everything is to be realized all over the world. The trees are all coming out. The superpowers are getting smaller and smaller because many of them are running away. Mr. Gorbachev says, whoever wants to leave the Warsaw Pact can leave. Everyone is free to decide. Things are all turning around. And where does it lead? To Rome. As long as I live, I have one task. Not to let Rome out of my sight, for the sake of God's people. Many are dumb dogs who cannot bark, who do not open their mouths, because they don't see what is going on now. I have to do it. And if it involves persecution and everything else, then I will exult over it and give glory to my God. But there shall come forth of this generation a blood-bought multitude, sanctified in the word of truth, washed and cleansed in the blood, and sealed with the Holy Spirit, ready for the day of the redemption of the body. I believe this. God will do it, for he has not only promised it. John has already seen the overcomers on the Isle of Patmos, before the throne of God. And Paul writes to the Ephesians that he has seen a multitude, not having a spot or wrinkle, but being presented to the Lord as sanctified and consecrated. We believe that in these last days the bride will not receive into herself any strange seed. She is not Eve who can be beguiled. The bride of Christ is like Mary, who takes into herself the divine seed of the word of promise, so that divine life can be born through the Holy Spirit. This is the divine truth. Everything else is mixing. And there are truly guardians who cannot bark, watchmen who cannot see. But thank God, who especially in our days, and we don't exaggerate, we just acknowledge it gratefully. I would be in the dark and in obscurity of many things today if God had not put the word of prophecy upon the lampstand by revelation. And so we are grateful to the Lord for all the servants and prophets, all the apostles, all those he could ever use right up to our time. And about this, I'm always glad that we are indeed in complete agreement, whether Paul preaches, whether Peter, whether James, whoever, whether other servants of God. And when we preach today, and we have been set by God, then we will say what men of God have said before us, in complete harmony and agreement by the same Holy Spirit, the same divine revelation about the same things as written in the Holy Scripture. What a grace! And here you may say, will it be many or few? That was once the question of the prophet Elijah, and we find it answered in the letter to the Romans in chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 from verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? Yes, what is it? What is the divine answer to you, to me, today, in our time, in this generation? How marvelous these formulations. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, listen, verse 5, even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Just as it was in the days of Paul, In the days of Elijah, in the days of the prophets, there was always a chosen rest, a remnant, a part that could stand their ground before God, that listened to what was said. And in verse 7 is actually the answer to that question. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Not all, but the chosen part. Many are called, but few are chosen. The elect part from each church age will form the overcomers. Whoever reads the seven church age messages carefully will notice that the message of the angel is addressed to the whole church, and right to the angel of the church to Ephesus, and to the last, namely to Laodicea, to the angel of the church right. At the end it says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things." The multitude of overcomers is the chosen multitude that bows the knee to God, but not to Baal, but to the living God, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. According to the divine election of grace, there is a remnant even in our time. Not the broad masses, but a remnant. As I've just said, and as the scripture testifies, many are called, few are chosen. The elect listen to the word of the Lord. And I read another verse from Romans chapter 10, verse 15. "And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written," always, what does the scripture say? "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." God has had men who have carried his message, watchmen on Zion's walls, who did not sleep, but stayed awake to admonish God's people and bring them God's message. And they will do so until the Lord returns to Zion and blesses his people as he blessed when he had to depart. And as written in the last church age message, he stands at the door and knocks. Whoever hears his voice and opens the door, he will come in and sup with him. In the last church age, this is the condition. The Lord is outside. Inside, preaching goes on and all kinds of things. He is outside the camp, knocking. And anyone who hears his voice and opens his heart, he will come into him. Watchmen on Zion's walls. Two kinds of watchmen. One set by God. They do their job. They watch and they bring the divine message. The others are watchmen, and at the same time they are dumb, and they are called by a very bad name, which we don't like to repeat. And they go their own way, pursue their own goals. Watchmen of God are in the way of God, in accordance with the word of God, and they prepare the way of the Lord and prepare his people for his coming. What did Paul say? "I want to present you to Christ as a pure virgin." He didn't just want to do a lot in the kingdom of God. He wanted to see a result of his ministry at the end. A purchased multitude, a virgin multitude, untouched by man, consecrated to God. That is what he wanted. And then he writes, "But I fear As the serpent beguiled Eve in those days, that he will beguile you away from the simplicity of the gospel. You can read it in 2 Corinthians, probably chapter 11. But God had and still has men who do not walk in their own ways, who do not have their own agenda and eat their fill and then sleep, but watchmen on Zion's walls, whose food has become the word of God, and who bring the divine message to God's people even today. And through this, we are called out, prepared before God, to then truly meet the Lord. And if you would continue to read this part in Romans 11, it then goes on to say that people have received the spirit of slumber, eyes of not seeing, and ears of not hearing. It's written in verse 8. But God has people who can see, who can hear, and I really believe in that. If anyone has been sent by God and himself gets sight like Paul and a light really dawns on him, then through the proclamation, the light will dawn on all who hear the same proclamation of the same word by grace. It will become a living revelation to them. And the Lord will shine upon us as the morning star, and his word will be clear to us, and will serve and follow him until we come from believing unto seeing. Watchmen on Zion's walls, who do not allow themselves rest, and the people of God join in, and then they are told, give yourselves no rest, and him no rest, until he has finished his work. And may God grant us that, that we ask and urge him that he blesses and accomplishes what he has promised and undertaken. I am grateful to him to live in a time when God's holy word was placed upon the lampstand, when God's word could be brought to God's people by revelation. And through that, our Lord is glorified. And we, as his people, are blessed from the riches of his grace. Praised and glorified be his wonderful name. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for your precious and holy word. I thank you for placing watchmen on Zion's walls among your people, watchmen who do not sleep, who are not dumb, watchmen who watch, who see, who speak, who say what you have said and bring the message to your people. Beloved Lord, would you bless us all, shake us all awake, that we ourselves may not rest and grant you no rest until you have returned to Zion and blessed your people anew, newly strengthened, newly equipped with power from on high. Beloved Lord, break through and baptize with spirit and fire. Equip with power from on high. Restore all that was in the church in the beginning. Lord, we praise you even now and magnify your glorious name of Jesus. Yes, we worship you. You have given your word, and you will give your blessing and fulfill all promises by grace. We thank you from our hearts for the Old and New Testament, for the Holy Scriptures, for all the prophets and apostles. Lord, we thank you that you have seen to it that we have received your word as a lamp to our feet until the end. Thanks be to you and worship for Golgotha. We thank you for your holy shed blood. Beloved Lord, your divine life has come into us. new, eternal life, born again unto a living hope. We thank you so much. O unite us to you. Restore, O Lord, the fellowship with you. Faithful God, grant us prayers that reach your throne. Work mightily through your blood, through your word, and through your Holy Spirit. We commend ourselves to you and thank you even now that you will make all things well and bring them to pass gloriously. Praised and glorified be your holy name, now and forever. Amen.